שלום, אנחנו לומדים קטעים נבהרים מן המקורות בנושא תשעה באב.
Hello, we're reading selected sources from on the topic of the 9th of Av. We'll continue from quote number 11. You can find the texts on Kabda TV and also ask questions. Relevant questions may be aired during the lesson.
We learn with you also in the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah and in general from the wisdom of Kabbalah that the main thing in revelation of the creator to the creature is for the creature to be able to differentiate between light and darkness. It's written so also in the beginning of the Torah, where he differentiated between light and darkness, and there was day and there was night, evening and morning and one day. Why is this important? Because otherwise we have no perception, no grasp, no recognition, no awareness. We have no idea where we are. And therefore we need to respect the shattering, which is called sin, actually, to respect the ruin, the breakage, the sin and the ruin, to respect all the problems, wars, exiles. Why? Because these actions are for the disclosure of the will to receive, as without having a big desire, which is worthy of its role for correction, and eventually for the revelation of the upper light, we won't be able to reveal anything. And therefore, these things are necessary to come, and we're not like some little child who's crying about the temples that were in ruins, but rather or for the destruction of them. But we understand that they had to be destroyed. Certainly this is a great problem that happens to humanity, to the people, and so on. That's on one hand. But on the other hand, we need to nevertheless rise ourselves a little bit above the bodies to the matter of the souls, and to say that even in our bodies we suffer, that suffering was necessary and in advance it was planned. And only as we are now in the time of the last generation, the period of the Messiah, as we call it, we can now talk about the corrections which are without the breakage. We're done with the exile. We could have started the beginning of the rise to the last correction from the times of the Ari, from the 16th century. And we are still in, we're behind on this, we're late. And let's do it, because really what's before us is, all that remains is to correct ourselves to unity, to connect between us, all of us to be as one bundle, as one unit, and all of this correction will be implemented. All the preparation for the correction have been done. This is why after we get closer to the day of the 9th of Av and we're seemingly sorry that it happened, it's not the correct sorrow. The correct sorrow is in the fact that we, out of this sorrow that was, that we couldn't maintain, hold on to spirituality, in bestowal, in love our friends like ourselves, like Rabbi Akiva demanded of all his students. So we need to understand that the sorrow needs to be upon that, the fact that we don't appreciate bestowal and holiness, and we're not doing enough in order to draw it to our world, because the situation is already ready for it. For 500 years we are already in having all the vessels, all the opportunities, the method of correction, which is called the Torah of the Ari, that has been revealed, the matter of the group, all these things have already been revealed. Rabash was the last of all the great Kabbalists that left us such an inheritance, all his writings about the group and everything, the corrections. And this is why we specifically are in a state that we should be sorry that there is a shattering between us until this moment, until this day. And not that there is a shattering in general that we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is a necessary thing. In order to reveal the light, we must have darkness against it. Is this clear? Yes? It's clear. Wonderful. No questions. So, let's read.
Excerpt number 11 from Exile and Redemption of Baal HaSulam. The nature of the steadfast guidance that we have attained through the Holy Torah, as in the path of Torah in Providence, a far more rapid development than the other nations has come to us. And because the members of the nation developed so, there was always the necessity to go forward and be extremely meticulous with all the mitzvot of the Torah. Because they would not do so, but wished to include their narrow selfishness, meaning the lolishma, this developed the ruin of the first temple, since they wished to extol wealth and power above justice, as do other nations. But because the Torah prohibits this, they denied the Torah and the prophecy and adopted the manners of the neighbors so they could enjoy life as much as the selfishness demanded from them. Because they did so, the powers of the nation disintegrated. Some followed the selfish kings and officers, and some followed the prophets. And that separation continued until the ruin. In the second temple, it was even more noticeable, since the beginning of the separation was publicly displayed there by unvirtuous disciples headed by Tzadok and Baitis. Their mutiny against our sages revolved primarily around the obligation of Lishma. As our sages said, "Wise men, be careful with your words." Because they did not want to retire from selfishness, they created communities of this deplorable kind and became a great sect called Tzedokim, who were the rich and the officers pursuing selfish desires unlike the path of Torah. They fought against the Purushim, and they are the ones who brought the Roman kingdom's rule over Israel. They are the ones who would not make peace with the imperious, as our sages advised according to the Torah, until the house was ruined and the glory of Israel was exiled.
Questions? Everything is understood. Yes.
What does it mean they didn't want to make peace with the imperious? Those officers that didn't go in the path of Lishma.
They said, "What do you want? This is enough for us. We're doing everything. We pray. We're doing the mitzvot. We bring to the temple what you want. All kinds of offerings we bring. On the holidays we come. Everything is good and nice. What do you want? You also want our hearts. We're not responsible for our hearts. The heart is in the hands of the Lord. That's it. So therefore, let us live and exist." That is what they wanted, those tzedokim. The rich, the officers, the tzedokim. And against them were the pushim, who said, "No, we must exist only for the sake of connection between us with the Creator." The people of Israel, our group, which is so called, that is what it needs. That is our destiny, our role. Not for something else. Not to learn from our neighbors or from anyone else anything about other forms of life, because our form of existence is only for the sake of above. But you understand that this whole world and the whole will to receive in each and every one is against it. Such a trend. And therefore, everything has been broken, ruined.
What are these, the imperious? What is it, a force? Is it people? What?
Of course, a force. Whoever's in the ego, and instead of in order to bestow, feels like to attack everyone else if he's in his will to receive in that ego. That's why they're called officers. Meaning people that have forces and desires and are the imperious ones that are willing to subjugate the others with their forces. Whereas in order to bestow when you're operating, you don't have the force to go to each and everyone, and to you can't obligate them. So what do you come to them with? You awaken them somehow. But relative to those who draw the people to the regular life, you can see that, you can see where all the nation is. They want to be in America. That's why wherever they wanted, that's how later they were thrown out to here. You wanted to be in the diaspora, you were drawn to be overseas, to everyone, to those cultures and things, then please. The Creator sorted it in such a way that everyone left. What to do? Is that clear? But again, we shouldn't be sorry about what was, because all those things were for correction. Rather, we need to see how we are participating in the correction ourselves, as the time has come. For the final correction, the last stage, depends on us only. And we must awaken ourselves, awaken the reforming light, and advance forward. Okay? Okay. Well, Tzvika.
You see that what happened then is happening today. Nothing changed.
Nothing changed because the absolute permanent persistent laws, and if you don't actually change them in your correction, they operate just like they did back then, they do today. You are today 2,000 years from the ruin of the temple. You are like in the time of the ruin. There is no difference. In spirituality, there is no line, which is an axis of time. There's no timers, there's nothing like that. You do corrections, there's changes. You don't do, there are no changes. There is no time. Time is considered the number of changes that you made. And there's no other measurement for time.
So they would raise us as sacrifices. Because you see the situation that's happening today. I'm asking you, people asking, why was there the ruin of the first temple, second temple, and still that's the state?
We learn this from the wisdom of Kabbalah. There have to be two holy temples, meaning such structures, spiritual structures. It's not a matter of a house, a fancy palace or something like that. Do you think there's something fancy that was there? It's not. It's not that at all. It's not that at all. It's a matter of beauty is considered the light of Chochmah that sparkles in Chasadim. It's not Chasadim is called silver and Chochmah is called gold. And these are it's all spiritual matters. So it has to shatter, because Mochin of Chaya and Mochin of Neshama have to intermingle with Malchut. And therefore, it's a must for this to happen. And it happened. Wonderful. They left. They were happy. Rabbi Akiva, yes? Nechamani there wrote. There are verses on this. And in general, all the Kabbalists write it this way. I'm telling you, when I came to Rabash as one who's doing tshuva, I did my repentance, and I was studying the Kabbalah for a few years, but nevertheless, I'm looking at them, where's the crying? Like I saw in the Rehovot that they're crying in the synagogues on the 9th of Av, and all that they're walking like this in great sorrow.
Soon the 9th of Av, everyone's sorrowful, everyone's sitting on the ground, especially the Yemenites. And it's unclear to me, all of that crying.
First of all, it's not on the floor. On the floor, you're supposed to put something.
Yeah, you put a rag.
Why?
Or something.
This is correct, because you're nevertheless showing your degree, but on the other hand, you have to put something so that you nevertheless are not touching the Malchut of Malchut. You have no connection to that.
Yeah, but what is this root? Well, why is the people of Israel sits and cries all day?
Well, so that you will at least see what you have to cry about.
We need to behave differently in the 9th of Av, according to what you say?
No, we just need to investigate why this happened and what is this a sign for? The deed of the forefathers
is to be joyful.
A sign for the sons. We need to be joy in the fact that, from what? Don't pull me on the word happiness. To be happiness from the fact that there is a preparation, a complete preparation, whole, for what we need to now correct. You have nothing else to do except for actual correction. Everything was prepared for you, meaning you were brought all the different parts and this and that. Just connect and you will see how much this will work and sparkle, and everything will be filled with light. The whole world becomes the world of Insuf. Eternal, whole. Please, the parts are all there in your
chance do we have to succeed really?
It's not a chance, it's a must. It's not a chance, yes, no. And therefore we should be happy about that. Where do I write about sadness that something was ruined 2,000 years? That's what I'm sorry about. If yes, then you should cry at least of why it was ruined. Otherwise it sounds like, oh, 2,000 years they stole from me some treasure. I had a big pitcher filled with golden coins. I received it from my grandfather and they stole it. And for that 2,000 years I'm sitting and crying. So what are you crying about? You're crying for your will to receive, which probably you had what to enjoy. That's called the Holy Temple and all those things. For you, it's kind of like, where's what do I deserve? That's the problem, that we think of those things in the completely opposite manner. What? 19. Let's read 19.
Excerpt 19. Taken from Rabash 1. In the month of Av, we should mourn the ruin of the temple, meaning be working on the left line, which is criticize the actions that are needed in the path of Kedusha, which is in order to bestow, and how one is remote from bestowal. When one thinks about this, he is in a state of remoteness from Kedusha and is immersed in self-love, where his whole basis for engaging in Torah and mitzvot is in order to satisfy the will to receive with every possible satisfaction. Therefore, when considering one's lowliness, he can awaken the path of the ruin of Kedusha that there is in each and every one.
That inside, within us, this thing is immersed. That we once were connected between us to one system. We felt how the whole system, the upper light flowed in, the force of bestowal and love. Inside that, the upper light was felt, which gives the feeling of upper, eternal livelihood, unlimited, without this world, and those things disappeared. We need to renew the connection between us all together. Yes?
Then the verse will happen, all who mourn for Jerusalem is rewarded with the comfort of Jerusalem.
Meaning it depends on what we're sorrowful about. We need to be sorry about the kli that shattered and the connection between us that was ruined. And the light is an absolute rest around us. The moment we'll have the possibility for it to be revealed, it immediately is revealed. Okay? You today... No. Let him hold back. Let him come tomorrow too. He wants to ask tomorrow. I will let him ask. Yes.
Rav, there is no message that obligates the nation to unite. There's nothing that obligates the nation to do this, except for war or something. There's no message that you can say necessitates the nation to unite and to demand connection.
Why?
That's how it happens. I go to people myself. I tell them, let's work in connection. People say, yeah, sure, of course. It sounds like ethics.
That is exactly the result of the shattering.
So how do you create a message that is obligating?
This message is within our people as an obligated thing. Without it, we can't exist. And that's what Bala Sulam says. We have to revive the message, which is dormant in us. And to revive it before such problems come to us that we will remember it in a way like from the side of the bad. It's best for us to remember this from the side of good for the time being.
There's this example that Mordechai sits at the king's gate. How can you create
yes.
that state?
Look, you see that out of him sitting at the king's gate, he did a great thing. He can't do more than the gate's king, more than sitting there. But this evil force sees Mordechai sitting there at the king's gate all the time and can't agree with it. He can't, because Mordechai, by sitting silently at the king's gate, studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, spreading it a little here and there, he is like poking out the eyes of those people who are against it, that don't want this. And they come and complain to the government, to Achashverosh, that look at what he's doing. What does this mean that he's sitting there? And from this whole matter starts. So without sitting at the king's gate, meaning the gate to the king, where Mordechai says that I am sitting at the gate of the king. Whoever wants to reach the king is only I know how to do that through me. That is very stabbing of Hashverosh, and from that begins the matter of eventually reaching Purim. Purim is the end of correction. So, for the time being, we're continuing to sit at the king's gate. As much as we do our work more than for sure, Haman will be revealed, and seemingly the upper force with him, and everything will turn out as it should. It's the Megillah, the scroll that needs to be revealed. That's why it's the scroll of Esther, of concealment. Okay, we have today regards from Be'er Sheva.
Good morning, Rav, dear friends in World Kli. First of all, the preface is just amazing, and it creates this kind of circle that we close with the ninth of Av, and a lot of questions awaken regarding the preface. and many questions perhaps I shouldn't ask here because not everyone will accept it in the same way, but I would like to ask a question that touches on everyone. We went through a shattering, and everyone yes. who came back here are souls that existed in previous cycles and already went through the ruin of the first temple and the second temple. And then my question is this. Every one of us who comes and studies today, the Creator leads him to the good fate, in the ten. So it means that this ten is actually the same pieces of the puzzle that worked in the shattering and now completing their correction from then, or it's a different process?
Yes, yes. No, it's not different. The fact that we say that the shattering was and the fall and the intermingling and the, now we need the upper light to awaken those shattered parts and to seemingly take them out like with a tweezer from all the broken pile, that's not right. What broke is the connection between us, that you had a connection, you had a system that is made up of many parts, and all were between them in all kinds of endless forms of connection, and the connections broke, meaning they became in order to receive. And then the upper light departed from them almost. And what remained in them is a little bit of a very small little illumination. That's called the illumination of life. But the system is all there. When we say that we need to correct the shattering is in order to bestow. But the connections themselves are there, meaning the pipes are there. Just inside the pipe, there's nothing. It's empty. Or even on the contrary, it's in order to receive. And therefore, we need all together to correct the connection between us. Why do I expand this whole matter? The connection between us that we need to correct. Meaning to revive, like Bala Sunam writes, to revive those deteriorated muscles,
to revive those muscles that are dormant in us for 2,000 years.
They're inactive, but they're every place. We just need to operate them. Yes, well. That's it?
No, we'll read the whole quote. He writes in the newspaper, The Nation, the remainder of nationhood is reserved in us, but it's inactive. And it's also damaged by the mixture with the outside. However, the reality is very bitter, and the only hope is to arrange for ourselves a national education in a new and fundamental way to reignite the natural love that is inherent in us and reactivate those inactive muscles that are dormant within us for 2,000 years in any means possible. Then we will know that we have the natural foundation to rebuild ourselves and carry out our role as a nation that can also sustain itself like all the other nations, and that is a precondition for everything else.
Meaning the shattering is called the shattering of the good force, which is not operating now. But it's not that the system is truly broken and it's like a pile of broken pieces that we need to see how we reassemble them like in a puzzle like we talk. In truth, it's not that way. In truth, it's just to revive the connections between us. Yes.
Since you answered the question about the tens, that we are essentially the same souls.
Yes.
So I'd like to express inspiration from all the world clean. And we heard that what we have to do, correct me if I'm wrong, is just to change our approach and work for the whole. And just that should be the work, if I'm not wrong.
You're not mistaken. We need more and more to advertise to the people of Israel what its obligation is, what they need to do in order to be saved from all the problems and the increasing trouble that are coming up, and the fact that it belongs to their destiny and their fate and their role towards the obligation towards all the nations of the world. In short, on all sides, advertise that the connection between us is the salvation and the whole general correction that needs to be done.
Thank you, Rav.
Yes, Chaim.
Following what you said, Rav, also, as we heard yesterday, we have a wonderful newspaper and we wanted to reach everyone as much as possible, and that no newspaper will go lost. And we came to the conclusion, the ordinary conclusion with the friends, that the 10 is everything. That's where the power begins. So every 10 received an area for distribution, and with their own strength, they will hand out newspaper in that area. So every one will take newspapers, and the gabai in every 10 will make sure it's being handed out from hand to hand qualitatively in Petah Tikva and around the country.
Also, pay attention that this newspaper is a special one. There's a lot of materials. This is 16 pages, and materials that are connected to our matters here. Also, according to the 9th of Av, which is the date that's on our schedule, maybe, but in the calendar, but it's connected also to the state of the world and the state of the people of the nation of Israel itself, as we are truly in a state that is associated with the 9th of Av, in the ruin, in the discovery of the ruin, in the revelation of the need for correction. And the newspaper talks about this in a very relevant manner. So that's why I really, really ask you, do this dissemination in the most qualitative manner as possible. And also, let's send this to everyone, the link to where the newspaper is in the internet, on our site. Well, let's hope that yes. From next Friday, Oren, do you know how to say about this? That we are going to have an afternoon lesson, whoever wants to come. From next Friday, you know that we have lessons from 1:30 to 3 in the afternoon on Fridays, and then we have a festive meal of the Sabbath. So from next Friday, there will be a lesson here, both to men and women, during those times, from 1:30 to 3. And it will be also according to our topics, and also including the portion of the week. So also men and women are invited, both to the lesson and the meal. We just need to register in advance, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, who's here? Well, find out. I think you need to register in advance, because we don't know what kind of quantities will come, so that we will prepare ourselves for this and be ready to serve everyone. And
today everyone is invited to watch a live lesson with Rav Lightman at 1:30 p.m. Israel time on KabbalahGroup.info. Thanks to the two viewers, and have a great day. New courses in the Kabbalah La'am campus. The courses will take place in various cities in Israel. New courses that open up. Go to kab.co.il for details, or call 1-700-509-209. And from unity to one, the Kabbalah Congress in Moldova. We're inviting all of the Kabbalah students to a congress that will take place from 6th to 8th of September. For details, go to kabbalah.info/convention. Have a great day.